Please turn in your hymnal to page 89 and stand as we sing together, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts and full life ours before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the around thee, earth and heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowering fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, a spring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus, reach the morning stars again. Love divine is reigning o'er us, finding all within his hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song.
Or a call to worship. When they call to me, I will answer them, says the Lord.
I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. With thanksgiving and praise, let us worship God.
For affirmation of faith, if you'll turn to page number 881 in your hymnals. In unison, we will recite the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2195. In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful.
In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful.
may be seated.
Our prayer of confession in unison, dressed in fine linen, we feast of, while others long to satisfy their hunger. We have Moses and the prophets, yet we remain unconvinced, waiting for some human warning. Forgive us in your mercy. Lead us to righteousness through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Let's take a moment for a silent prayer. Declaration of forgiveness. Through Christ we are carried away by the angels, comforted by Father Abraham, our hunger satisfied, our agony cooled, and our sins forgiven. Believe the good news in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. It's time for our offertory. If the ushers would please come forward. Let us pray. Father, as we offer you these gifts, may they be multiplied by the good of all people. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray.
He's still.
still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be
good morning again.
Good morning.
Okay. We will not be having children's time this morning because Debbie's turn to do the children's time, and her daughter just was not doing well at all this morning, so she wasn't able to come in. So please keep Diane and Debbie and her whole family in your prayers. I understand that there are no yellow prayer slips, but I cannot imagine that there's among you here someone that is thankful for something. If for nothing else, you all woke up this morning. You know, church, we're taking for granted the air we breathe, the time we have. What's wrong with us? Are we that busy? Are we that self-in that we don't realize that waking up this morning was a gift from God? And we all need to say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so I'm going to proceed and lift up in prayer Ed. We pray for decisions that he's going to have to make, wisdom and understanding and discernment. It is a hard time for him. As I understand, men don't like to be sick, and he's no different. So please keep Ed in your prayers. Also, Millie is not here today because she's not feeling well. So let's pray for Millie. And for Lynn Skinner. Some of you know her well, and let's just keep her up in our prayers. For all of us, that we might be able to grasp the importance of a thankful heart in Jesus' name. And it is in Jesus' name that we all, united of one voice, pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you will all accompany me to the prayer for illumination, God of the prophets, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak your word to us and seal it within us, that we may heed your call. Amen. Our word today comes from Psalms 103, 1-5, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. And it reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who sanctifies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Bible has much to say about gratitude. In fact, giving thanks to God is of such fundamental importance that the Bible mentions the failure to do so as part of the basis for God's judgment against mankind. We walk so far away with our blessings that we start thinking that we deserve them, and somehow we are entitled to what God gives us. Romans 1:21 puts it like this: "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." What that means in today's words is that we get so used to having that we don't say thank you. We just complain at what we don't have. Clearly, gratitude should be a characteristic of every Christian. As Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. Even when we're in the middle of despair and we're going through circumstances that just cannot be defined by words, we still have something to be thankful for. In the ongoing struggle of daily life out there, where feelings of disappointment and entitlement can easily talk louder than the best of our intentions, if we're not overcome by the struggle, we really have to count our blessings. And we somehow forget to do that. We have so many reasons to thank God, and yet it is far too rare a practice for many of us. Complaining and grumbling comes all too easy for us. Rather than look at what is lacking in our lives, may we learn to thank God in everything, realizing that God owes us nothing, and yet he has graciously given us all the things in Jesus Christ. Jesus pointed out both the importance and the rarity of gratitude in Luke 17:11-19. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border of between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When Jesus saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.'" Just a few words. "I see you. Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were healed. No fanfare, no bling bling, no trumpets, no nothing. "Jesus, have mercy on me." He turned around and he said, "Go and tell those guys that you have been healed." Jesus operates like that. We don't need to have PhDs. We don't need to be very eloquent. You can even have an accent, and God will still hear you and pay attention to you and heal you. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a very loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. I wonder why they mentioned that. Because you all know that at that time, the Samaritans were considered persona non grata. They were just less than anybody else. They were not smart. They were sinners. They were everything bad that society had. Those were the Samaritans. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Not only was the man healed, that now he's mentioned in the Bible about 3,000 years later, so he's famous, even though we don't know his name, but he was healed, his faith. Jesus mentioned of the faith of this man, and we all can see that he had a grateful heart. We would do well to imitate that former leper. This shows us that a heartfelt gratitude is a choice that we make every day with every path we take, with everything that comes in and with everything that goes out. Heartfelt gratitude is a choice. We in the society we live today have been very blessed, but we tend to cling to what we don't have. Most of you will never know what it is to go to bed hungry. You will not know what it is to be beaten, abused, or homeless. I don't think that there's anyone here within the sound of my voice that every month they have to make a decision between buying their medicine or buying food. All of you, even though that you have gone through difficult trials and your lives have not been easy, you still have something to be thankful for. It is important that you don't forget that. There are people in our community that need help. But the one thing for sure we know that everyone in the community needs is the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that information each one of you have with you. It doesn't belong only to the pastor, and it doesn't belong only to a group of missionaries. It belongs to every one of you. It is important that you all, with one voice, decide in your heart, let me do my part. Let me tell them about what God has done for me. It is important that the word of God, especially in the moments that we're living today, is carried out. Those of you who have lost your soulmates, your children, grandchildren, your friends, relationships, some of you have lost more than once, two or three, some of you might be able to say, I've lost somebody in all of these categories. But church, you're here. You're still here. If nothing else, God has given you the gift of time. And not to be sorrowful and to get bitter and just to complain. But he has given you the chance to see the beauty of the next day. And to feel what comes with healing and what comes with healing of sorrow. All of you have a story. Not everybody has the same story, but all of you have a story. And I am aware of that. But I think that we are forgetting that just because we're past the tempest or past the storm, been there, done that, no more. Oh no, we're either walking into a storm in the middle of the storm or walking out of the storm. But life will always have issues. Our lives and every good thing in them are the gift from God. James 1:17 says, we have done and can do nothing to deserve these gifts. The Lord, while talking to Job, asked this question: who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Job 41:11. Everything you have, everything you will ever have, belongs to God. We are forever debtors of God and to his grace, which reach its zenith in the sacrificing life of Jesus Christ, in his dying on the cross for you and for me. The eternal life that we have received through faith in Jesus deserves and calls out for a lifetime of gratitude. Everything we have or will have belongs to God. We are stewards of these gifts. You know how I know this? Because we don't take it with us. You all know the old saying, you will never see a Hertz pulling a U-Haul. That ain't gonna happen. You're not gonna take it with you. So you're either gonna give it to your children and then your children to your children's children. But when you go back and when God calls you home, you'll be going just the same way as you came in, with nothing. From nothing he made you, and as nothing he takes you back. The only thing is that we do get to go to eternity. We're just not lost in a mass in the air or the atmosphere. But Jesus begins being the softy that he is, because he's very soft, you know, he can't get mad forever. Knowingly, he left us some words for us to kind of like to chew and think about and inspire us. In Philippians 4:6-7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To put it even more simply, in every situation, prayer plus thanksgiving equals peace. Wisdom and peace are without price. When prayer teams up with gratitude, when we open our eyes wide to see God's mercies, even in the midst of our pain, and when we exercise faith and give him thanks, even when we can't see those mercies, he meets us with his indescribable peace. This is a promise. This verse from Philippians is a promise. Lay down your anxiety. Pray. Lift up your need. Lift up your loved one. But with gratitude. Thanking God for what he is in your life. Thanking for all that he has done already. And thanking him for all that he would do, because his promise to you is for good and not for evil. To prosper you and give you a hope and a future. I have mentioned to you before how I pray for wisdom and peace when making a decision, or when I have to let go of dreams, or when my spirit is in conflict. Years ago, my youngest daughter and her now husband got lost in the Gilas, and I think that I might have mentioned this to you before, so bear with me. The temperature was dipping below freezing, and they were overdue coming by 4 days. I knew something was wrong. After the Army sent a Black Hawk helicopter to rescue them, my daughter told me that her prayer through all those days had been for God not to give me peace, because she knew that as long as I did not have peace, I would be looking for them. And that's exactly what happened. I reached for her in my heart, and she was far, So I knew that they were in trouble. Those were four very bad days for me and my family, the rest of my children, people that have grown up with them. Besides praying, we had all of El Paso praying, and I belonged to a wonderful church that was there supporting me in prayer also. But we were besides ourselves because we knew what could happen. But God did not give me peace. And as long as I didn't have peace, I knew that I had something to do. And the first thing that I did when I got that call saying that they had been rescued was to give thanks to God. And I tell you the story today as my way of telling God, thank you. Thank you for saving them that night. Thank you for keeping them together, and thank you for keeping my family together and at peace in those moments, because we all wanted to do something, but we just didn't know what was the best thing to do. At one point, we had decided that we would go and rescue them. Oh, yeah, we got on the truck, and we don't know. Yeah, we did. We just, you know, went down, but... The Army, my son-in-law belonged to the Army, and I had called the Army, and they did what we couldn't do. Prayer is vital, but to really experience His peace, we must come to Him with gratitude. Hard gratitude, not just a thank you, Jesus, in passing by. Costly gratitude, the kind that trusts that He's working for our good, even in unpleasant circumstances. The kind that builds an impenetrable wall around our troubles and about our around our hearts when we are in despair, and about our minds, around our minds when our minds just don't know how to think and how to process. When you come into Him with a thankful heart, and when gratitude is part of your prayer discipline, the peace that surpasses all understanding comes into you. And will that peace change your circumstances? No. I wish I could tell you that it would. No. But it changes your heart. And that makes you better able to deal with your circumstances until God acts. Are you facing one or more chaotic, unsettled situations in your life now? Is your soul weary from striving, from stress, from strain? There is peace, church. God's peace is waiting for you just beyond the doors of deliberate gratitude. But the only way to find it is to go there and see for yourself. God's peace is one of the many blessings that live on the other side of gratitude. And here is what can make it a lasting difference. We have a choice every day to give Him thanks. And with a grateful heart, we realize that no matter what we face, God doesn't just work to change our situation and to help us through our problem. He does more than that. He changes our heart. His power through the heart of gratitude and focus our mind on Him, and that is one of the gifts of gratitude. It also releases the grip of our struggle, the grip that uncertainty and fear has over us. We are strengthened by His peace and refueled by the joy we can find in Him. On the last Sunday of this month, I will be passing out to you our pledge cards. I tell you this today so that with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, you will be able to trust God for your future and give generously to God's mission in this church and to God's mission in the world. Gratitude is a choice, and the choice will be yours. And I promise that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. until our very end. You will find in your program this little green paper. And what I did here is I put gratitude verses from the Word of God. This is how I do them. I get them and I say them out loud. I know for a fact that God likes to listen to me reading to him. I know that he doesn't mind my accent or that I skip words or, you know, no. So Karen helped me and put this together for you so that during the week you can have some verses that will kind of inspire you to make gratitude part of your discipline in your prayer life. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope even through the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purpose. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us for when we don't thank you enough. And we don't thank you enough just for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you have given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh, brand new. Renew our spirit. Fill us with your peace and your joy. We love you, Lord, and we need you. This day and every day, we'll give you praise and we give you thanks. For you alone, Lord, are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is found on page 670. Please stand as we sing together, Go Forth for God.
God's good spirit.
receive this blessing from the Lord. May the sovereign Lord bless you. May the Christ of mercy keep you and the Holy Spirit sustain you in this life and in the life to come. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Come and fill our homes with your presence. You know the beauty of our reverence.
It's so great to see you.
So good to see you.
God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you.